We have two scripture lessons this morning, both from the New Testament. So listen for the word of God. Our first reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our second reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourself with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The word of the Lord.
I did choose a third scripture for us to ponder this morning, and this one's from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 7th chapter, 14th through the 25th verses. Hear now these words. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under slavery, under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but the fact is no longer that I do it, but sin dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I do what it is, what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh I am a slave to the law of sin. Here ends our third reading. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words of your holy scripture and ask that your spirit help us as we ponder them this morning. Amen. So the question I have for all of you this morning is, how are you doing? Okay. I mean, how are you doing on your resolutions? Right? You all made New Year's resolutions, right? You know, the ones you made exactly 2 weeks ago, are you still keeping them? I don't know about you, but I figure if I manage to keep my New Year's resolutions for 2 weeks, I've succeeded. It doesn't really matter if I keep them after today. New Year's resolutions, one of those traditions of the new year. I suspect most, if not all, New Year's resolutions are temporary. Maybe over the years, a person manages to make and keep a New Year's resolution for more than a few weeks. But I bet that it doesn't happen often. Such is human nature. It's hard to make new things happen and keep them happening. Of course, one way to keep New Year's resolutions is to make them easy to keep. Last year, I decided I would not chew tobacco in 2022. And I promised I would not eat any Brussels sprouts during the year. And finally, I wanted to have a positive resolution, so I resolved that I would bathe daily in the coming year. I almost made that one. Thinking about resolutions got me wondering, what are resolutions anyway? Why do we keep them, and for what purpose do they serve? Why do we mark New Year's in such a way? And does anyone really make resolutions, or is it a joke that we perpetuate every new year? Whether we keep them or not, they grow out of a deep-seated notion that within us, that lies within us, that we need to change. In some way or another, we realize that we are not who we desire to be. We are not as perfect as we should be. There is this gap between what is in our lives and what ought to be. Paul spoke of this gap this way in my passage from Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Maybe Paul had trouble keeping New Year's resolutions too. Paul recognizes there's a gap in what between what is and what ought to be. And that gap he calls sin. It is that sinful nature within us that keeps us from being what we want to be. For Paul, a New Year's resolution would go something like this: stop being a no good, rotten sinner. I doubt any of us sat down on New Year's Day and wrote out that as our resolution for 2023. No, I suspect what resolutions we wrote were more mundane, like stop eating snacks between meals or be nice to the checkout clerk. But for Paul, the power of sin is cosmic in nature. It goes beyond our ability to overcome. For Paul, even our mundane resolutions hold a cosmic significance. Why can't we stop eating snacks between meals because of our human weakness? Why can't we say something nice to the clerk because we cannot help? We cannot help ourselves. It is who we are. We live with this human failing. So our resolutions, no matter what their nature, are in the last sense beyond our control to make happen. Not because they are not unattainable, but because even our best efforts are dogged by sin. It is only when we change our focus from a need to change to a need for God that the possibility for real change exists. Our resolutions are attempts for us to live the righteous life, and yet they are all born to failure, and yet make them we must. For it is through our own efforts that we begin to discover the true nature of our fallen ways. Christian author C.S. Lewis put it this way: we cannot discover our failure to keep God's law except by trying our very hardest and then failing. The nature of sin is that even our best efforts at righteousness are bound to fail. Our best resolutions still fall by the wayside. And yet we still need to try. We need our resolutions, our attempts at righteousness, for this leads to discovery. As Lewis writes, all this trying leads to the vital moment at which you turn to God and say, you must do this, I can't. But Paul sees this as the work of Christ in us. For he writes in 2 Corinthians, that Abby read, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away, and see, everything has become new. For Paul, Christ overcomes our human nature to sin, and we become a new creation. All of that old way of struggling with our sinfulness gives way to a life lived in righteousness for Christ. We are new people in Christ. As Paul wrote in Ephesians, we put on a new self. And thus we are able to face the world in a new way, live in a new light. Sin is still within us, but we are no longer a slave to it. For Christ has given us the way to master sin. We are this new creation. But it is not our salvation that Paul is talking about. For Paul, when we accept Christ, it is not just we ourselves who are changed, but all of creation is changed. For listen to what he says. For if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. He doesn't say he or she is a new creation. He says there is a new creation. When we decide to live in Christ, it is not just us who is changed, but everything changes. Our salvation brings about a new order of existence, as does the salvation of everyone else. The way Paul writes it, this is a continuing operation. The old things become new and continue to become new day after day after day. Our Christian growth is never ending. Just as God's work in this world is never ending. And so we are all part of a new creation every time someone comes to see Christ. And I hope you find this to be a freeing transformation. We tend to speak of human nature as if that is how it is and will always be. But the gospel challenges the assumption that human nature cannot change. But the gospel states that our very nature transforms into a new creation in Christ. No longer are we held in the chains of what we are, even when we hate what we are. Through Christ, our whole world changes and we change with it. And the heart of Paul's message comes in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice that it is God who is at work here, bringing us to himself. God is the initiator of reconciliation and the remover of what separates us from God. It is God who closes that gap. Thus, our very existence becomes altered in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Such graciousness works a decisive change. There is no longer a gap between us and God. When we accept God's love, we discover what it means to be one of God's children. Jesus bridges that gap between us and God, and in so doing, he makes it possible for us to live as a new creation. But there is more. where Paul goes on to tell us that we are ambassadors of this new creation. We are the ones that make this transformative new relationship that we have in Christ available and visible to the rest of the world. While we are recipients of divine love, we also are agents of that same love. And by being agents, we are called to encourage others to come and know that love. That's what being a new creation is all about. To bear witness in our very being what Christ has meant for each of us. This good news is not ours to hoard, but is given to us to share, to give away, to demonstrate in how we live and what we say, that new creation may become manifest, not only in our lives, but in lives of all those around us. Now that might just be a New Year's resolution worth making, and God knows God will help us keep it. Amen.